writer records in Hebrews 11 in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I think some versions use the word assurance. Faith is the assurance that we have hope in eternity, and it's because of our faith in who God is that helps us to have hope in eternity. When you read through the book of Hebrews, and it's such a wonderful writing in that the book is written to encourage Christians. But when you come to Hebrews chapter 6, the prevailing idea here is that Christians were already beginning to lose faith. They were beginning to lose courage. And the Hebrew writer begins to stress the idea of having their hope in heaven, where that anchor is going to be. And because of the hope that we have and understanding what heaven is, based upon the faith that we have, hope is what gives us assurance of eternity. Last week we discussed the topic of hell. And obviously we understand that hell is not something, nor is it a place that we want to go. But when we think about heaven and the idea of what heaven gives to us as God's children and understanding the hope that we have in heaven, it helps us to better understand what faith truly does for us in God's Word. Hope is very important to us as Christians. One of the things I never understand, though, is sometimes I hear Christians, in relation to understanding heaven and the reward that God is going to give us if we are to remain faithful, Revelation 2 and verse 10. But sometimes I'll ask people and I'll say, you know, I'm going to get to see you in heaven. And they say, well, I sure hope so. That's not the definition of hope. Because we have an assurance if we remain faithful and having a hope of eternity. Hope, based upon the definition that they're giving, is, well, maybe I'll get there. But the Bible says that we can be assured based upon our faith and the hope that we have in knowing that God is going to keep His promises for us as His children. So because we have a hope in our future and understanding what our eternity is going to be, as we just sang, our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus, right? And because of the hope that we have and the foundation that God has given us in the eternity of what heaven is going to be, brethren, hope is a wonderful thing for us to have. But why do we really need hope in relation to us being Christians? Well, I think we need hope because it gives us something to talk about. People talk about their plans all the time, right? I mean, we have, as we're doing tonight, our graduation fellowship after our evening worship, and our young folks are beginning to make plans, and young people talk about their plans for college and the future or whatever the case is. They have a hope of going to college, or they have a hope of getting that scholarship. That is, they're looking forward to something. But when you think about the idea of hope, hope isn't just thinking that it's going to happen. Hope is understanding that something is going to be given, prevailing on the idea that I'm doing something in relation to that. People have a hope for retirement, right? All of us one day want to reach retirement, to be able to kick back and relax after we've kicked the kids out of the house, and we get the grandkids over and we can spoil them. But we have a hope of retirement. Working people talk about their vacation plans and the hope of a relaxing time. Well, all of that's based upon the idea of what it gives us to talk about. It's natural that Christians would talk about their plans to be in heaven, right? John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus giving that definition of telling the disciples and knowing that He's going to return for them. And He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, In my Father's house are many mansions, because if it were not so, I would have told you so. He said, "But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I come again, I will receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So because of the promise given by God, we have a hope in knowing that there's going to be, even if it's a small closet, we have a room prepared in the mansion for us in heaven. So hope is something that builds our confidence. Hope is telling us that we have something for which to look forward. Paul spoke about hope, about that desire to depart and to be with Christ in heaven. That's hope. And hope is something that builds us up. You think about what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You want to turn with there just a moment and understanding the idea that Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica and understanding what hope truly is based upon the return of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." They had no hope in understanding when Christ did return, there was nothing for which they were to look forward. Why? Because they weren't grounded in faith. But in verse 15 or 14 it said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say that say unto you by the word of our Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What's Paul telling the church? Have hope in knowing when Christ returns, because we are in the faith that we have hope of an eternity with Him in heaven. Hope gives us that assurance. Hope gives us something to talk about, to sing about, to pray about, to be about. But hope also gives us something to work forward to. You see, hope motivates us to work, does it not? In knowing of what my eternity is going to be, I can't work my way into heaven, but I understand that obedience is required concerning hope. You know, my mother used to tell me concerning work and what you hope for that, you know, the road's paved with good intentions to hell, as she used to say. I'd say, "Well, Mom, I'm going to do that. I'll get around to it." And she'd say, "Well, the road's paved to hell with good intentions." But when you think about the idea of what sacrifice is and understanding the assurance of heaven, of the hope that we have in it, it's a short-term sacrifice for a long-term goal. We sacrifice here, we work towards the idea of remaining faithful and being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you consider the young person who's seeking to pay for his way through school, through loans and tuitions, or you consider the working man, again, that's looking forward to vacation. You see, hope motivates us to work for the Lord. I think hope motivates the Christians to work. We obviously have hope for our future plans here at the Cary congregation. We have a hope in understanding the work that we do produces those who want to become members of the Lord's church and understanding what their salvation means to them. Hope is looking forward to something that's going to happen, that's going to give us that assurance. Paul often spoke about his future work. He talked about traveling to Spain and understanding the work that was going to be done there to the church at Rome, or to Timothy. He said, "These things I write unto you, hoping to come see you shortly." Paul was always about the work because he had a hope in knowing the reward that he was going to get. John said, "But I hope shortly to see you, and we shall speak face to face." 3 John in verse 4. But hope for eternal life should also motivate us the most. What is our hope? Hope should obviously give us something to talk about, something to work towards. You see, our hope motivates us to serve the Lord. Paul described himself as a servant in hope of eternal life, Titus 1 and verse 3. He described himself as a servant based upon the hope that he had in knowing what eternity was going to bring. I think we've kind of seen through our one-word study the prevailing idea here and understanding that with hell, we understand what the, or heaven, we understand the alternative is going to be hell, and if there is hell, we have no hope of eternity. And because we don't want to be in hell, we have a hope of heaven. So what is our hope? It gives us something to work towards. John wrote in 1 John 3, verses 2 through 3, concerning how our hope motivates us to live pure and godly lives. John wrote, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know not when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." John said, we don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know what we're going to be like, but here's the idea. We have a hope in knowing that we get to see him, we get to be like him, and more importantly, brethren, we get to be with him. So that's the hope that we have, and knowing it's something for which to work forward to. But I think more importantly is that hope gives us something to hang on to. Because of the hope that we have in heaven, does that not motivate us to not only talk about it, to work about it, but to hang on to our salvation? We don't want to lose our salvation. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:4 that we can fall away, that we can lose the salvation that God has given to us based upon our life of being disobedient. So hope tells us to hang on to that which God has given us at the cross of Calvary. And because of the hope I have, you see, if we have hope, brethren, we can get through the most difficult things. That's the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. How quickly time passes, right? I was looking today at our graduates' displays out here. And Sister Simpson said, "How quickly 13 years passes," as we were looking at her granddaughter's board. I said, "Well, if I'm lucky, I'll be 55 when my youngest graduates. But I hope that's going to happen." But just as our young children hope for the future and we understand how quickly time does pass by and how fleeting time is, we have a hope in knowing that we have something for which to look forward, because one day this life will end. You see, the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel says, "I've got to hang on to my salvation." We can do daily chores that need to be done because of our hope of some future event. We raise our children in the hope that they're going to have a good life when they get older. And all the things that we've done to prepare them for having a good life, we hope that the outcome is going to be how we raise them. It doesn't always happen, but we have hope for it. We have an assurance. We can work through difficult times in marriage if we have hope for better days. Really, if you think about it, hope is an attitude. Hope is an attitude of knowing that God is giving me the assurance of my eternity. And because I have an assurance based upon my faith, I don't hope in relation to how people say it today, "I go to heaven." Brethren, I know I'm going to heaven. Because I have an assurance based upon my faith and the hope that God gives me, and because I'm grounded in the truth, I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt where I'm going to be. That's hope. Hope gives me something to look forward to. For Christians, hope provides us a way to deal with life's problems. Paul wrote Romans 5:3-5, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and patience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me." Paul understood what that hope was. Paul knew personally about the persecutions. In Acts 28 and verse 20, Paul said, "For this cause, therefore, I have called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with these chains." Paul understood the idea of what it meant to have hope in God. When we have hope, brethren, there's nothing that we cannot endure. There's nothing that we cannot get through. There was a school program in a large city that had a program to help children who were in the hospital for lengthy stays. And what they would do is they would recruit teachers to this program, and their job was to go to the hospital and help the students so they wouldn't get behind. Well, one particular who was recruited to this program, one teacher, was called and was asked to go to the hospital. And the English teacher told this other teacher, she said, "Look, we're working on adverbs and nouns, and I really hope that you can work with this young man so as he will not get behind." So she said, "Okay," and she took the boy's name down and his room number. She didn't ask why he was in the hospital, but she went, and when she got there and she walked into the room, she realized that this young man had 90% burns all over his body. Second, third, and fourth degree burns. All over his body. So she taught him about nouns and adverbs. To which she said as she left, she really didn't think she did a good job. But she came back the next day. And as she walked past the nursing station to go to the young man's room, a nurse pulled her aside and said, "What did you say to him?" To which she started to apologize because she thought she did something wrong. And she said, No, you don't understand. I'm not reprimanding you, but whatever it is that you said to him, he started to respond to the treatment. He had a different outlook now. He's doing better. He's starting to feel better. He's starting to talk to us to where he was not talking before and he wasn't responding to the treatment. 2 weeks later, the little boy said, "I figured if they were going to send a teacher to me to learn about adverbs and nouns, that obviously there was some hope that I was going to live." Brethren, that's what it means to have hope. We have hope and assurance in God because we have an outlook of what our eternity is going to be. Hope is a precious and a wonderful thing. What is your hope built upon? Is your hope built upon Jesus? I pray and hope it is. But if it's not, why not? And if you have no hope that's not built upon Jesus, where is your hope tonight? Where's the foundation that God has given you? And where's your salvation going to be? I hope and pray that you want to be in heaven. Because all of us are a family and we understand what family is, we have the hope of eternity and knowing the inheritance that God has given to us and that we're waiting to inherit in heaven. I hope tonight that you choose to obey the gospel. to respond to the precious invitation that God has given to all of us. You see, when we talk about hope, we have so many things that God gives us assurance. It gives us something to work forward toward, and it gives us something to look forward to. And because we have something to look forward to, you too tonight have something for which to look forward. But if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do you have to look forward to? Last week we talked about the idea of what happens if you miss heaven. Hell is what happens. That's not where any of us want you to be tonight. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that tonight. The Bible tells us that we must hear the gospel, and by hearing it, faith comes. So then faith is, by faith, I'll get it out. Romans 10:17, you can read it. We know what it says. Brother Marshall Keeble used to say, just keep reading, you'll run into it. Because we understand that faith is required for all of us, and I hope tonight, based upon your faith, that you choose to obey the gospel. And in hearing and understanding the Word of God, that you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10, and to finally put on Christ in baptism tonight, Acts 2:38. I pray that you'll do that tonight. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling in your Christianity because maybe you've lost hope or you have no hope, tonight we want to pray with you. We want to make that better. God wants to forgive you. We want to encourage you. But please make that known tonight as together we stand and as we sing.